flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And welcome back on this National Serpent Day, a little tribute for the snakes of the world. All right, getting back to our text messages. We'll get to those in a second. But coming up this hour, we're going to talk about a uncovered secret blue catfish bait. I'll tell you what that was all about. That was interesting. Also got a live report from the Minimalist Challenge where the kayakers will be fishing. Brendan Bayard's going to be participating and reporting on it. I had a great duck hunt with Ryan Lambert this past Thursday. I'll tell you what we encountered as far as pintail ducks. Also, we've got to remind you about the St. Tammany Home Show. Our friend Larry Roussel. Uncle Larry, he's going to be there today and tomorrow at the Castine Center in Pelican Park in Mandeville. He's going to be set up with some of those luscious, scrumptious samples of his Ready Set Gumbo and his stew and a few and his other spices. That's from 10 to 5 today and tomorrow, St. Tammany Home Show, Castine Center. I'm going to stop by and see Larry. I hadn't seen him in a while and just poke my nose in there and say hello. All right, getting to some of your text messages. The Backstrap Stacker's checking in and says they got 10 days left in the Alabama deer season. It's been a great year. Lots of gobblers are starting to show up. Hope they don't disappear in mid-March. Well, Backstrap Stacker, if you got a turkey infestation problem, you know who to call. I'll be there to help you. No charge. Just let me know. And we got our Ohio listener says it's 26 degrees, which was 40 degrees warmer than last Saturday. The windows are open for some fresh air and says woodchucks don't chuck wood. They break tractor axles with their burrows. Yeah, I've heard that. Someone also says that the Alabama rig is also known as a chandelier rig. Yeah, I could see why it would be called that. Old Colonel in Hammond says first you make a roof to cook the woodchuck. And Alton in Kentwood wants to know, do you need a Mississippi hunting license to hunt at Crane Creek in Poplarville? That is the, in fact, they got a tower pheasant hunt going on today. And on this past Wednesday, myself, my buddy Dean Galatis, my dog Smokey, and Smokey's sister Latte participated in a great quail hunt we had over there. And then Chris Weaver took those quail entrails and used them as bait in Lake Pontchartrain and filled an ice chest full of blue catfish. Who knew? Quail guts, the latest catfish bait. Anyway, getting back to Alton's question, the only thing you need is what's called a shooting preserve license for Mississippi. And I want to say with the a convenience fee on the Mississippi Wildlife Fisheries and Parks website, it's somewhere between $15 and $17, somewhere in that range. It's a pretty good bargain that you don't need a small game or any kind of a stamp or other thing. When you're hunting on a shooting preserve like Crane Creek, that's all you need. All right, son of a wee-go rat says he likes the old joke, woodchuck tastes a lot like whooping crane. Well, whooping crane would be a very expensive dish, where woodchucks, I think they come by pretty cheaply. Here's one, says Don. Many years ago, I lived in Virginia and hunted groundhogs. We skinned the young ones. They were delicious. The older ones were tough. You needed to skin them right away, as once they set up, very difficult. That's from Doug. And we have this one. Oh, this is from our friend David Hubble over in Alabama. Don't forget to mention John Folt's Boucherie, February 22nd. You can order tickets through Eventbrite. Yeah, even I know how to do that. They can come out and learn all about the traditions of the Boucherie and enjoy some of the best pork dishes around. This year, they can hear David, John's brother, Jerry Foltz, and historian Jim Hunter give a tasty history on Pennsylvania scrapple, River Parish hoghead cheese, and Creole classic beef dish, daube glacé. Boy, that's worth the ticket, huh? Hope to see the folks there. David, maybe what I'll do is when you charade at White Oak Plantation, a garden in the States, in Baton Rouge, John Foltz's place. What an event that is. We have, in fact, if you want to get a little bit of a taste of it, go to Bayou Wild TV and look on some of the back log shows. And we did several shows there at John Foltz's. Here's one that says a nutria is South Louisiana's version of a groundhog. They do look a lot alike, except the groundhog doesn't have that big old ratty looking tail, and I think nutria, good bit bigger. Nutria can get a little heavier than the groundhogs. Here's one that says woodchucks. First you skin them, you clean them, and you throw them in a pot. Save the pelt. All right, got some more texts coming in. If you want to shoot us one, it's 504-260-1870. We'll try to get to as many as we can. But when we come back, we'll be talking to Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Get a report from his area where he leaves out of the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge right there on the banks of Salt Bayou near Slidell. His report is next here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report is a presentation of someone we've talked about earlier this show, Sea-Tow. Yeah, they're the guys that come and rescue you when you need them, whenever you need them, wherever you need them. What you get, as Robbie was talking about, peace of mind. You know that a Sea-Tow captain is he's right there, standing by. You ever need help out on the water, if you run out of fuel, if you got electrical problems, if the tide comes and gets you and you need a tow, just give them a call and they will come to the rescue. It's simple to get signed up. It's like having a AAA policy. It's renewable every year. $249, they will come rescue you as many times as you need. Hopefully never use it. It's one of those things. But if you do, they're there. Sea-Tow.com is one way to get them, or you can simply call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545. That's 301-4545. Captain Mike joins us now. And Captain Mike, give us a little rundown on any reports of dead fish that you may have seen firsthand or got reports of secondhand.
Don, I did a pretty extensive search earlier in the week. We started in some of the deeper man-made canals along the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain and moved all the way down to the wall. We didn't see any dead fish, so was very happy about that. Our water temperatures were in the high 40s, 47. I think the highest temperature we saw was 50.7. Fishing was on the slow side. We did stick it out and grind out 12 to maybe 15 fish, and half of those were undersized. So I do know there's fish that have survived, and they'll be there in the spring, and they'll probably grow to be keepable size by the time spring gets here. I haven't seen any dead fish, to answer your question.
That's very good news. I'm glad to hear that. Mike, we're also talking about Alabama rigs, umbrella rigs, chandelier. People call them different names. Have you ever put those to use or given them a try?
I have never personally thrown an Alabama rig. I've seen them. Can obviously, you know, see the concept on how it would work. I enjoy fishing. I'm not wanting to catch, you know, 15 in 15 minutes. I enjoy the art of fishing, and so catching three at a time doesn't appeal to me. I'd rather catch three on three different casts.
You know, there's some states that have actually put in stringent regulations about hook size, the number of baits you can put on them, and some in certain bodies of water don't allow them. So if people are listening out of the state, you might want to check your regulations before you throw that Alabama rig. And I think that was more when it first came around. It was kind of like the live scope. It was a little controversial about it was too effective and that type of thing. But I've used them, and I found that they work. I did find that you foul hook a lot of fish because, you know, you can imagine when the fish get in a frenzy and they come into what they think is a school of shad, they're striking and hitting everything. So a lot of those hooks will catch them in the side of the gills or in the fin sometimes. But and, you know, where you fish, other than Pontchartrain, I think it's more of a deep water bait. I don't think you're going to work it in shallow water real well.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I do remember as a youngster fishing tandem rigs and hooking two redfish, and it seemed the majority of the time they'd go in different directions and pop your line. So if you were lucky, you caught one of the two. So I couldn't imagine, you know, five redfish at one time.
Yeah, well, I doubt that would happen very often, but who knows, it could. Well, Mike, what's your plan today? You know, we got a little bit of a warm-up coming, especially next week, so how's things going to change?
We do have a warm-up, and it's been calm weather, so the water's nice and clean. It's still a hunt-and-peck type of thing. If you find an area holding fish, I would certainly say work that area over thoroughly. The thing that I found earlier in the week when I went, you know, we all know how to hop our lure and let it settle back down on the bottom. Your paws had to be pretty long. Some of my bites came at the 8 or 10 second mark. So you're literally dead sticking for 8 to 10 seconds, which really seems like a long time, but that's when we would get the strike. So just make sure your paws is long enough to see that you've, you know, adequately fished that area. And like I say, if you do come across some, stick with them because we found them in small little areas, and the majority of our fish were caught in those few areas.
So what you're saying is if you throw out there, you let it rest on the bottom, you flip it and let it go back. If you wait 3 seconds before the next flip, you're missing a bite. That fish is going to take longer to get to it.
Correct. Correct. If your normal cadence is to wait 5 seconds and all the fish are biting at 8 seconds, you think you never got a bite. You just took it away from them faster.
Gotcha.
That
yeah.
Water's still on the cold side, and they're just not moving that fast. When you do catch a fish, and here's something you can pay attention to, when you do catch a trout, we'll talk about speckled trout. When you do catch one, does he come to the surface and shake his head? If he does, that's sort of an indication he's not that cold. But if he's just on the surface, kind of wallowing back and forth, much like a freshwater catfish does when you catch those, that fish is definitely telling you he's cold and you need to slow down your presentation to catch more of them.
Called reading the fish behavior. That comes from our forensic fisherman, Captain Mike Gallo, only you. Mike, if people want to get you, they can find you quickly on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and you're at AAofLA.com. But you got a phone that you answer regularly and talk to people about booking at the lodge and getting trips organized for the coming months. Tell them how to call you.
Very simple. You can reach me at 985-781-7811. The phones have been ringing. We've been booking trips. We got several captains and on the site overnight lodging.
And no fish, no pay, still a policy?
Oh, of course. We're going to keep that.
All right. Very good. Mike, thanks for the report as always, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, Don. We'll talk to you then.
And there he goes, off into the great gray wonder. All right, we come back after this. Minnows Challenge. Brendan Bayard's participating. We've been talking about this for months. I think they got a little bit of a break in the weather. Don't know how extensive the fish kill was in that area and how much it will affect them, but he'll tell you what the rules are, and he's going to give you a guess on what it's going to take to win one of the most popular kayak tournaments in Louisiana. He's next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio.
The dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Network. And it's time for our Paddler's Report, brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie. Don't forget about Tuesdays are special. They have a Tackle Tuesday, a real good selection of conventional tackle, and that's where you can find that popular Marker 54 bait. Also, we're just about, 2 weeks away from the start of the Fly Fishing 101 course. It's 3 to 4 hours. It goes in-depth through all the basics, the fundamentals, and then there's some hand-on casting instruction. All that comes along with your first fly fishing rig. You'll get rod, reel, line, and leader. If you want to enter the world of fly fishing, what a great way to do it. It's $250. That's the class, and that's the everything you need to get out and catch some of those fresh or saltwater fish. It's all happening at No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway. Tell Justin and the boys hello. All right, Brendan Bayard joins us now. He's at the Minimalist Challenge. And, Brendan, if you would, have they issued the minimal lures to you guys yet? And what are they?
Yeah, we got a variety of plastics. It looks like we got some H&H jig heads, a couple of plastics from those guys. We got a topwater from Topwater Co., a new company that Brock Miller, one of our kayak anglers here in the club, founded. You might have remember his name from winning Ride the Bull a while back. So we're excited to use that today. And it's actually a day that you might be able to use a topwater since the water has been warming there for this last week. So on a little bit of a warm trend in the winter. So I guess the battle today is going to be between the dead-end canalers and the open flats guys to see which way prevails. Because, you know, traditional thinking is like, you know, you fish wintertime in deep canals and dead ends, and then you get a warm day and sometimes to get out on the flats, and then you got the fish gill to deal with. So a lot of challenges here today, but looking forward to it.
And they are allowing the electric motors, correct?
Yeah, so you won't hear me panting today as we're on the phone, because usually I'm huffing and puffing as we're going to a spot in the dark here, and today I'm just leisurely cruising, which is very nice.
Are there any boundaries that people have to restrict?
No, as long as you launch at Launch Leeville, which is right there underneath the bridge, you can just head out wherever you want. You know, you could probably go up to the lock if you wanted to, or all the way down to Point Fouchon, or, you know. You know, you got a wide boundary. So, and Leeville's great because you can launch and go in any direction, really.
What's at stake? What's the prize structure today?
I think we got about 80 participants. That means we'll pay, I believe, 8 places, and they take a portion of all the entry fees today, and then they'll break that down. I don't know the exact formula, but first place usually gets, you know, maybe a 40% share of that, and then they kind of stagger it down. Today we're fishing for 5 trout, 2 reds, and there's a kicker fish, which could be a flounder, a sheephead, or a black drum that's a slot. And, you know, those are pretty hard to catch with plastic, so I don't see a lot of those being caught, but if somebody catches a black drum, I mean, that's, you know, 10 pounds easy. Right. So, that could be a big, huge game changer.
Interesting concept, and you are limited to those baits that they give you, and God help you if you lose them. You're done for the day.
Yes. So you want to make sure you have some thick leader, and you want to, you know, be careful not to throw it in a bunch of, you know, hang-upable spots, if you will.
Brendan, before you go, we talked a little bit about Alabama rigs, umbrella rigs. Have you ever fished them from a kayak, and where did you do it, and how did it work for you?
Yeah, I've actually fished those a couple of times. At Hobie World, we had a bass tournament in Texas, and we went out to, I think, Lake Bastrop and Lake Fayette County Reservoir, and I actually did pretty well with those. I would find schools in, you know, 15 to 25 feet of water, and it was kind of like what you do with the long cast. You kind of cast that Alabama rig, and then you pedal for, you know, maybe 100 feet, and then you kind of slow roll that thing on the bottom through the schools that you find with your depth finder, and almost always you catch something. So it's a great way to catch bass. I haven't really used it for, you know, trout or anything, but I'm sure you could make a modified version of that and fish some of these deep holes in the winter that people fish in the, you know, when the schools of trout come into these 20-foot holes. It might be, you know, something interesting to try.
Sure. Well, Brendan, we're going to let you go. Before you do go, what's your prediction on what it's going to take to win the challenge today?
I'm thinking somewhere between 16 and 20 pounds. Fishing's been pretty tough. There's been a lot of dead fish everywhere in Leeville. So, you know, there's a lot of that biomass that's taken out of the equation to catch. So hopefully we get some good bags, but, you know, I think it's going to be a little more challenging than it would without the fish kill.
Right. Well, we'll find out based on the results today exactly, you know, what impact it might have. It's going to be a good test for it. Brendan, good luck to you today, and we'll talk to you next time when you come back on.
All right. Thanks, Don. Take care.
All right. There he goes, Brendan Bayard from the Minimalist Challenge in Leeville with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. All right. Coming back after this, boy, I'll tell you, some despicable people. One bad girl and three bad boys. We'll tell you what they did to kind of dupe the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries and you, a taxpaying citizen. We'll be back to tell you our bad boys and girl of the outdoors story after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we'll get to our bad boy and girl story in just a minute. Got some text messages here. One from Dixie George. They're wrapping up another year at the Dixie Ranch over in Lacombe. Good hunting and lots of friends. Time to get ready for next year. Yeah, they spend it's a year-round thing. Managing the wildlife over there at Dixie Ranch. Great group of people. Here's one, says Don, is there a place that buys used boats? Well, just about all the dealers would probably welcome a good used boat. Some of them will even sell your boat on consignment. You tell them how much you want for it, and they'll sell it to their audience and their customer base, and they will do it for a fee, a percentage. So you might try that. Something else you might try, and I've never done this, but you can sell your boat online through a website called Boatmart. And they will advertise it to their customers free, and then there's different packages. You can spend like $20, I think $50, and it will run for a longer time. But you put all the information, the picture, and, I mean, you're talking about a worldwide audience. There are a lot of people who will get to see it. So you might want to try that. And if you do, let me know how you worked out for you. Just go to boatmart.com, and that'll take you to the website. All right, let's see. We've got some more text. This one says, the Blackwater River over here in Santa Rosa County, Florida, had lots of medium-sized mullet that died from the storm. That's from Crawfish Dan listening to us in the Panhandle of Florida. Thanks for that report, Dan. And we got Jason. He's on his way to Corey's Barbershop in Covington. They're listening over there. Thanks for swinging by. Yeah, I got my hair cut over there and heard a lot about sports and outdoors and a lot of interesting conversations going on at the barbershops. It's a good place to get some reports and all kinds of information. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second pause. When I come back, I'll tell you about this despicable scam. Four Louisiana residents, one girl and three guys, attempted to get away with, but unfortunately, allegedly, they've been stopped. We'll tell you that story right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, here in Louisiana, a regular lifetime hunting and fishing license costs $500 for state residents. Well, four people are accused of conspiring, to get free lifetime licenses, which are intended for disabled veterans, to save money, and were arrested after one of the license holders, John Ballard, had used his for approximately 2 years before he and his two sons, Brian and Trevor, were busted doing a compliance check. So you might ask, how does one pose as a disabled veteran to purchase a specialty license? Well, you have to find a participating scammer like Kara Meek. She is the Office of Veteran Affairs chick who illegally approved their applications, and she was also arrested. When confronted by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Law Enforcement Division, Papa Ballard said that the error must have been from Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries licensing system. It wasn't their fault. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries surely had wrongly assumed that the three were disabled veterans. Well, they didn't buy it and booked into the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison on one count and $5,000 each for filing false public records were 49-year-old John W. Ballard of Denham Springs and his two sons, 25-year-old Trevor N. Ballard, also of Denham, and 30-year-old Brian J. Ballard of Hammond, and booked with three counts of injuring public records and facing $15,000 in fines, is Kara Meek of Houghton, Louisiana, our bad boy and girl of the outdoors. You know, lying about being a disabled veteran, is not only is it stealing, but it also is an insult to military veterans. And really, I think hopefully the judge will issue the maximum punishments. And we got to congratulate some good investigative work by the Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents Brent Hebert. He's a corporal. Also Corporal Joshua LaBeouf and Sergeant Mike Messerol. All those guys, thank you for a good job done. All right, let's get back to the text messages. Let's see. We left off with Jason. We got all the bass. Here's one for all the bass fishermen. The bass are starting to bite pretty good on a spinnerbaits in Lake Buff. That's from Brian Guidros. Thank you for that report, Brian. We got Gary from Lockport checking in. He made the last day duck hunt in the Point of Shen management area yesterday. Unfortunately, scratched on ducks. Lots of dead fish floating of all species. Pelicans, eagles, hawks, and vultures are feasting. Yep, one fish is trash fish is another bird's treasure, I guess you'd say. All right, here's one that says, can you tell me if hogs will be spooked by using a hog call in a tree stand? You know, I can't tell you that, but maybe somebody listening can. Would you use a hog call? Have you ever used one? And when you sooey, sooey. No, I'm talking about a grunt call. I don't know. Maybe somebody has done that. Did it spook them, or did it attract them, or did it not have any effect? 504-260-1870. Slim is listening to us while he's hunting the last weekend in St. Francisville. Good luck on getting some of that venison, Slim. All right, and we got open text board now, 504-260-1870. When I come back, I was hunting in a blind on Thursday afternoon with Ryan Lambert. We'll tell you why we hunted ducks in the afternoon and why we had a problem with pintails. That story and more next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Oh, someone just sent me a beautiful picture of what looks like a very good sunrise this morning. Wish I was outside to enjoy. Well, I can look out the window here at St. Hubert's Cathedral, and I'm facing east, so with the wall, so I'm going to have to step out to see it. I'll do that during the next break. Captain Ryan Lambert joins us. Ryan, are you seeing a beautiful sunrise over there in Luling?
No, I'm in Buras, but it's coming up. It's just starting to come up. It's not over the palm trees yet, but it's pretty. It's a little high clouds, not much. Mostly clear, but some high clouds.
What you got going on there today? You got a few people going fishing? I know you got the veterans hunt because this is the last 2 days.
No,
and it's only
they didn't come. They didn't come.
No.
So they backed out of it. And then we got about 5-6 boats going out fishing. So it don't ever stop. Just another day.
the ducks can rest easy till another season. We had a good hunt. Yeah, that was what a pleasure that was. But the problem was, too many pintails.
Oh, Lord. Well, they didn't have that problem yesterday. They said, well, if we don't fly today, we'll survive for another year. So let's not fly. I sat from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock yesterday just because it was the last day and I wasn't going in. And they killed 5 ducks, all teal.
Wow.
Never saw a flock of pintails, God, well, nothing. Because it was low water and they're just not coming.
Yeah, and that's a problem you're going to address, and I want to put this out for people who hunt in coastal areas and have problems with tidal situations. There could be a remedy for it, and if they want to join you in your effort, tell them what you're going to be doing.
Well, we're going to have to I think this is the year to make 3 splits again, 3 zones. So we have a west zone, an east zone, and a tidal zone, a coastal zone. We can make it to where when the tides are negative, we close the season. Because you're out there for no reason, and if a big blizzard, God forbid, comes in while you're out there and the water sucks out, well, guess what? Your life's in jeopardy. So, you know, it's better not to go, because every time it goes -9, I was in Mexico this week, and the guy's calling me from down in Venice. Man, you got access to an airboat? We stuck like Chuck, and we're not getting. I said, you'll get out at 10 o'clock tonight. Yeah. But, you know, just hope a cold front doesn't come while you're stuck. But, you know, that and the ducks will go offshore. They're not coming in until the water gets to a certain height. So, you know, I think they're going to do a survey. And if they do, everybody that hunts in the tidal zones needs to vote, yeah, we need a different zone. Because right now we're in the same zone as Shreveport. We're as far south and east as you can get. They're as far north and west as you can get, and we're in the same zone. It makes no sense.
Yeah, what is the argument for not creating a coastal zone?
Well, when you have 2 zones, you get 3 splits. If you have 3 zones, you get 2 splits. That's federally mandated. So I would rather just have the 2 splits and get it to where we could, you know, get the season in early November and just let it go until the first negative tide, take that week off, and then open it up for a week or so in the next tide, and then that's it. You know, we'll end sometime early January, but late January, there's no reason to hunt because you can't get out there and the birds aren't coming either. You know, some people kill a few. You know, we killed the other day, and Jake had 15 the other day, but, you know, for the norm, that's because we hunted, we didn't leave till 2 o'clock.
Right.
So if you want to hunt 2 o'clock in the evening and hunt for 3 hours, you know, you could do that. But, you know, traditionally people want to get out there at daylight, and if the tide's falling and going to be low at 10 o'clock, they're not coming.
Well, I'm kind of wondering if the federal argument would be, well, look, that's all factored into the limits that we set and the days that we allow, is that there's going to be some days where you're not going to be able to get to the ducks, and it's part of their management. That could be an argument.
The federal limits for the United States is not for the coastal Louisiana. So, you know, I don't think that's really that a lot to do with it. But, you know, again, you know, we just don't have as many ducks in Louisiana as we used to because there's no food. You know, you have to have millions of food hours of habitat in which to keep those kind of birds. And we just don't anymore. Our swamps are barren and there's no aquatic vegetation in the whole Barataria Estuary. You know, we have to bring our waters back so we can bring our Louisiana sportsman's paradise back. Mm-hmm. So hopefully people will join in the war.
Well, they're taking public comment till March the 6th. You got to comment on it. You can go to the meetings. You can send them a letter. You can call Jeffrey Duguay. He is the division, the guy that's handling that. You can email him. There's a lot of ways to comment. But the way it stands right now, they want to go back to the two splits, which would be November 8th to the 30th, and then December 13th to January 18th. But that would be a west zone, and you're purporting that they put in a special coastal zone, which is set on based on the tides, which I think is a good idea. And if people agree with that, if they're tired of having to go in the afternoons or getting stuck out there and risking maybe freezing to death if you get stuck out there for several hours on an Arctic blast, they need to make their comments heard. But, you know, the most logic you said was, you know, Venice, Louisiana, and Bureau should not have same regulations as what they have in Shreveport. Two different
and that goes for all the Chapalaya and all through there, too. You know, them guys go out there. They got the same problem. There, anybody that's in coastal and tidal zones have the same problem. So, you know, it's simple to fix, and we need to fix it. You know, it's no big deal.
Right. Well, if somebody wants to get in on a fishing, it's time to put the guns away down there and pull the fishing poles out. Or if they got a trip they'd like to plan to Mexico and talk to you about that, tell them how to get you.
Yeah, they did real good with the fish yesterday, all reds, though. Yeah, they can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com or call me direct at 504-559-5111. And when we get off the radio, when you get a minute, text me that guy's number so I can have a word with him.
I will do that. And also, don't forget to send me those pintail pictures.
Oh, do that right now, buddy.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Thank you, Captain Ryan.
You're welcome, bud.
All right, there he goes. Cajun Fishing Adventures. What a place down there with the palm trees and the swimming pool and the great food they serve and lodging. What a great place. All right, we come back after this. We're going to get to some of your text messages, wrap it up, and tell you what's coming up in the next couple of weeks here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, what you got going on today? Yeah, we have some extended hunting seasons. We talked about that. The weather's getting pretty nice and going to be some pretty good fishing conditions out there. But if you want to, if you got an interest in stopping by the Mandeville Home and Remodeling Show this weekend, let me tell you about a special offer. I told you my buddy Larry Roussel, Uncle Larry goes by, is going to be there at his booth. And if you stop and say this password, Outdoors with Don Dubuque, he will give you a supersized sample of the Ready, Set, Gumbo product. And I just made some quail and venison sausage using the Ready, Set, Gumbo. I tell you what, it was great. So stop by and see Uncle Larry. He's also got some other spices that he has and the stew and a few. A lot of products that save you a lot of time, but give you the great taste. That's Uncle Larry Roussel. Again, that's at the Castine Center in Pelican Park on the lakefront in Mandeville. What a great facility that is. All right, something else coming up, the Troops and Tusks. They're going to be having their hog tournament, and they're going to be giving awards. That's going to be done on Sunday. It's a two-day event, Saturday and Sunday, February 22nd and 23rd. and they will have live entertainment, a live auction. In fact, coming on the show next week, Derek Poor, who did some feral hog hunting with down there in Pecan Island. He's going to come on and explain in detail how this works and who the beneficiaries are, the veterans. This is in honor of some of our veterans, and we just can't do enough for them. So if you want to participate, check it out. It's called Troops and Tusk 2025 at the Delcrum Shrimp Festival Grounds, February 22nd and 23rd. Also on the 22nd, that's the Boucherie at White Oak State and Gardens in Baton Rouge. John Foltz has put this together. It's the time-honored tradition of what they do. It's been going on for a long time. They will actually butcher a hog, use every part of it, and it's grown into a kind of a festival where there are a lot of chefs and cooks from really all over the country and the world that show up there very early in the morning, and they'll prepare their special dishes, and you just pay one price, get your ticket, and kind of graze through all the things and learn a lot about the history and all the traditions and the culture of the River Parish area from Chef John Foltz and his staff there. In fact, we're going to get David Hubble, who goes there every year and does some cooking. He's going to join us that morning and kind of give us a report. Hopefully, I'll be able to get over there and enjoy it. I've been going there many times and had a lot of fun there. All right, let's see if we can get back to our text messages. And let's see, we got how many days of the waterfowl season? Well, right now we are getting 60 days. And the way they determine how many days, they base it on the mallard population, which I don't think is a great rule of thumb to use. But based on the mallard projected population, you either get a 60-day, a 45-day, or a 30-day with three-duck season. And it looks like it's going to continue to be the 60 days. Now, teal season is going to be reduced next year from 16 days to, I think, maybe six or nine. There'll be a nine-day teal season next year. Let's see. Here's one that says, let's have a state season. No zone, three splits, open early November, close late January. Then you have the opportunity to hunt early and late because of the tidal range. Well, the problem is that on those tide days, you completely lose the morning because you can't get to them. And the idea of a coastal zone would be the only areas affected by tides would have those different dates. All right, here's Deb in Florida. She says it's not very sunshiny in the Sunshine State. It's cloudy, but allegedly not going to rain. She can't tell who's fishing, who's not, because that's not her thing. No, her thing is news. I call her the news chick. Here's someone that says, how can someone be dumb enough to blame it on the wildlife and fisheries for a mistake? With my lifetime, I had to send the fee in with my application. The department will not send you a license without sending you money, without you sending your money first. Well, what they did was they applied for this was our bad boy story. They applied for free licenses, which are given to disabled residents of the state who are veterans. They had this girl in the Office of Veteran Affairs. She evidently approves who is a disabled veteran and who is not. She illegally approved these three guys. Why she did that, well, we don't know. There's got to be more to the story. But their excuse was, oh, Wildlife and Fisheries must have messed up and gave us this. But obviously they were in on a conspiracy. So they'll pay the price for it, and well, they should. All right, let's see. We got any more of these text messages? I think that wraps them up. Great. Thanks to all of you who participated in the show. We managed to get them all in. I think if I missed you, I'm sorry, but we'll try to do that again next week. In fact, we're going to be here again next week. We'll have the results of how that minimalist challenge went. We'll talk to Derek Poor. Don't forget to stop by and see Uncle Larry at the Castine Center in Mandeville for the Mandeville Home Show. And make sure you say Outdoors with Don Dubuque, and he'll fix you up with a supersize ready set gumbo. Special deal from Larry. All right, that's going to wrap it up. I'm out of here. We'll see you next week, 5 to 7 a.m. It's our pre-journey to the outdoors on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.